Amen. Praise the Lord for that special and song. How appropriate that is for this month and for our soul winning training meetings starting this Saturday. There's people all over Indianapolis that need the gospel and need someone to tell them. They're waiting. They're ready. And it's our job to go. If you'll please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. I want to publicly apologize to Brother Andy for I was in the back and I was not paying attention to the announcement. So when he asked me, I just nodded my head, and then I realized I nodded to the wrong time. So please don't tell preacher that I did that. We're in Joshua chapter 24. We're going to be looking at two verses tonight, verse 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Tonight we're going to be talking about making the choice. Make the choice. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God, and I thank you for the day. And thank you, God, for the opportunity you've given us to come to your house tonight to worship you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us tonight as we're here, Lord, to be ready to receive what you have for us from your word. Lord, I know that this is the message that you have for us tonight. And Lord, I pray right now that you'd empty me of myself. God, I don't want to come up here in my own strength. God, I want to come up here in your strength. God, I pray that you'd strengthen me, Lord, and give me your power that I can get the message out that you have for us tonight. But I pray you help us to, Lord, take to heart the message you have for us here from the words of Joshua. God, and to make a decision that we are going to choose tonight to serve you. I pray that you bless us, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Today marks the 4-year anniversary that I married my wife. I am very grateful for her. I'm very glad that I made the choice to marry her. Now, don't ask her if she's happy if she made the choice, because it's too late for that. But I'm very grateful for her. I love her very much, and grateful for who she is to me. You want to say anything about me? Or? Okay, you're good. Life is full of choices. From the moment we wake up every day, we are deciding what we're going to do every step of the day. From the moment your eyes open in bed, you decide whether or not you're going to press the snooze button or whether or not you're going to wake up and start your day. Many people wake up and they decide if they're going to have Pop-Tarts for breakfast or cereal for breakfast. You wake up and you think about, am I going to take the highway to work today, or am I going to take the back roads and try and skip over the traffic? Ladies, am I going to wear flats or heels today? There are many decisions. There are many questions that we give ourselves, and we make many choices every day. Choice after choice after choice after choice. There's a choice here that Joshua gave us here in chapter 24. And this is a choice that everyone makes whether they know it or not. This is a choice that everyone makes whether they want to or not. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve the other gods of this world? The gods that have taken you down before. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve Satan? Joshua here in chapter 24 is giving his final charge to the children of Israel. Joshua was in his last days. He was about to die. And if you look here later in chapter 24 and verse 29, it's recorded that Joshua died. It's only a few verses after this text he read tonight that he passed away. Joshua had an important message. I want to ask you something. If you knew that your days were numbered, if you knew that you were going to be passing away soon, I bet you'd have some important things to say to the people you love, the people you care about. Joshua had a message for the children of Israel, the people that God had chosen him to lead, and the people that he felt responsibility over and that he loved, his country. And he had a few words, a charge, a question for them. Look at verse 1 and 2. Look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. It says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, and the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And we're not going to read the rest of the passage there for time's sake. But Joshua wanted the Israelites to get this message, and he called all the elders, all of the leaders of Israel, to come hear what he had to say. And he begins not to speak his words, he begins to speak the words of the Lord God. To speak what God had for them before he was to say what God had laid on his heart. He reminded them, first of all, here as we start in verse 3, that they had not always served God. God chose them. God chose Abraham, and he chose to use Abraham to start his nation, his chosen people. And as God chose Abraham, he moved him from Ur to Canaan, and then he told Abraham that that land was his, that land was going to be where his people were to dwell. And then he begins to speak the words of the Lord to them and saying, Do you remember those plagues? Do you remember that captivity that you were in Egypt? Do you remember how I brought you out of Egypt? Do you remember how I turned that water into blood, and how I brought complete darkness over all of you, and how I killed the firstborn of those that didn't have the blood over the doorpost? Do you remember what I brought you from? Do you remember the Red Sea? Do you remember how I empowered Moses with his staff to part the waters there, and how once you passed through, it swallowed up the Egyptians? Do you remember that? Do you remember how I led you with the cloud by day and fire by night? Do you remember how I gave you that manna and those pigeons to feed you while you're in the wilderness? Do you remember how I turned that bitter water into sweet, refreshing water? Do you remember the Amorites? Do you remember all of those enemies that you were facing that in your own strength you could have never defeated, but because you had me, you defeated them? Do you remember those walls just recently that you walked around and I made fall? And then he said, look around. You're standing in Canaan. You're standing in that land that I have promised you for so long. See what I have blessed you with. It was important, first of all, for them to realize who their God was and to remember all that he had blessed them with. And after speaking those words of the Lord, he begins to speak to the elders his own words. If you look at verse 14, is where he starts. He says, Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. We see tonight this choice that we are called to make requires a fear of God. This choice requires a fear of God. That word fear there means to revere. Afraid is another definition of that word. Wanted them to remember how terrible and how great God is, and to have reverence for Him. The first things that He spoke to them in His own words, the first challenge that He had for them was to fear God. Now, I find this order here to be important. I find this first thing that He told them to do to be something that was quite important to Joshua. Joshua had spent much time with the children of Israel. He had seen how they lived. He had seen how they walked. He had seen all the mistakes that they had made and heard and learned from his own mistakes, I'm sure. But I think Joshua knew that the fear of God was important for them, and maybe the fear of God could have changed some things that happened in the past. You know, maybe they did forget God's power at times, and maybe they did get influenced easily by other people that came into the camp, but I'm pretty certain that many mistakes would have been dropped if they would have kept a constant fear of God. Let me ask you, do you think that maybe they would have been in Canaan 40 years earlier if they would have feared God? Do you think maybe Moses would have been able to go to the promised land with them if he would have had a fear of God for just one moment and not struck the rock when God told him to speak to it? The fear of God was an important thing that Joshua saw that they needed. If the fear of God would remain in their heart, would they have fallen time after time after time? You know, many times Christians continue to fall into sin because the fear of God is absent in their lives. Many times we fall into sin because we are not remembering how powerful and how great, how terrible our God is. We need to have a fear of God in our life. Solomon tells us in his old age in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It says, fear God and keep His commandments, this is the whole duty of man. There was this woman that bought a parrot in a pet store. She bought this parrot and she was excited. She was lonely and wanted a companion. And she took him home and brought him back the next day. And she went to the store manager and said, this parrot doesn't talk. The store manager said, well, he should start talking sometime soon. So he said, do you have a mirror for the parrot? Sometimes a mirror makes them happy and they'll begin to talk. So he gave her a mirror and she took that and went home and put it in this cage and came back the next day. Parrot still hadn't talked, and she told the store manager that. And he said, man, I thought that would work, but does he have a ladder? Parrots like ladders. They like to be able to move up and down on those. And maybe you should take that home and try that. So she took the ladder home and came back the next day, of course, and said, parrot still isn't talking. So he said, well, does he have a swing? Maybe if I give you a swing for that parrot, he'll get happy. And after playing around on that, he'll begin to talk. And reluctantly, she bought it. She came back the next day, but this day she looked a little depressed. And he said, the parrot hasn't talked again yet. And she said, well, the parrot died. The store manager said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that happened. I don't know. I can't really explain it. Let me ask you, did the parrot try to say anything before he died? The woman said, yes. See, in his dying breath, he did say one thing. He said, don't they sell any food at that pet store? That woman knew the duty of a pet owner. She knew her duty as a pet owner to feed that parrot food and water so it could live. But even though she knew it, she didn't do it. Solomon told us, he said, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's not only, we should not only be challenged to fear God, but we should also realize that it is our duty to fear God. We've already discussed the possibility of a different story for the Israelites if that fear would have remained. But let me ask you, would your life be any different if you would have a constant fear of God in your life? If you can think back to those mistakes you've made early in your Christian life or recently in your Christian life, all the times you've fallen, would you, if you look back on that, if there was a fear of God in your life, do you think maybe some of those decisions would have been held back? Do you think maybe you wouldn't have made as many mistakes if that fear would have been constant in your life? It's always exciting with a two-year-old in the house. Jackson is nuts, and he is just now beginning to be a good boy for longer periods of time. Earlier we saw hope, but now he's starting to, sometimes he'll have 5 or 6 hours not getting in trouble. And I noticed recently that there are times where he's good, and then there's times where I come home expecting things to be good, and he is disobeys and doesn't listen to what I say. And if I ask him to stop doing something or to come to me, he'll look at me and or he'll laugh and run away. But when he does those things, very quickly I realize that I need to correct that. I need to discipline him. I talk to him and explain to him why it was wrong, and then I give him discipline. And when I do that, he's a good boy again for a while. When he remembers to fear his father, he's a better child. When he remembers that there is consequences for his disobedience, he's a better boy. When our fear for our Heavenly Father remains constant in our life, we are a better child of God. We got to keep a fear of God in our life, or we're going to make a lot of mistakes. We need to keep a fear of God in our life, or our life is not going to be one that God is pleased with. You may be in here and you say, I've fallen into sin and it's consuming my life. What happened? You've probably lost the fear of God. Maybe you're in here and you say, I don't understand what happened with my kids. All I wanted them to be happy, and I wanted them to do things that other teenagers had a chance to do. And yeah, I went against the Word of God a few times on that, but I don't understand why they've fallen completely out of church, or why they've fallen into sin, or why this happened in their life. Somewhere along the line, you probably stopped parenting with a fear of God. If we are to keep a constant fear of God in our life, we will be a better child of God. We have to make a decision to fear God. Choice requires fear of God. And secondly tonight, the choice requires service. Verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." That word serve there means to work. That word serve is used for bondmen. It is used for us. We need to humble ourselves and obey the Word of God. Turn to Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12. We are called to serve. We're going to read 16 verses here in Romans chapter 12. You would bear with me. And as you read these, I'll try and read them slow. That's a difficult thing for me to do, so we can get exactly what God has for us through this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceits." This passage we just read is talking about service. Everyone in here is very familiar with this passage, and if not, very familiar with verses 1 and 2, talking about being a living sacrifice and serving God, and what it takes to serve Him. But later here, in the middle of this passage we just read, he talks about that there are many members in one body, and then he talks about all members having not the same body, all members not having the same purpose. In our church, there are many different kinds of people. And because we have many different kinds of people, we are able to minister to many different kinds of people. There are some people in here that couldn't minister to other people that were to come here. There are others that can minister to the ones that they can't. There are jobs in here that many of you would be good at. There are places in ministries here, positions in ministries here, that in junior churches or on the bus or in visitation or in the choir or in being a trustee or whatever may, that some are better fits than others. But in order for us to serve God fully as a church, it takes all of us, all the members of the body, to serve. And we need to do it with unity. There are people sitting in churches that say, "I don't want to minister, I don't want to get involved because I want to be able to come and get ministered to," and that's good. And there are people that are newly saved and people that want to know more about God and to know Him better and to have a better relationship with Him that need to be sitting under the preaching every service. I understand that. But there are also many people that have sat under preaching for many years and not served. We need to make a choice tonight to serve the Lord. We need to make a choice tonight not just to want to be ministered to, but to be willing to minister to others. Colts camps have been going on here recently, and at those Colts camps, and when the preseason starts, there are mini camps and different things like that, and the Colts at that time begin to study their playbooks, they begin to study all the different types of formations that they need to have, and all the different calls that are going to be called, and they begin to practice those over and over again. They are preparing at those moments for the game. Now, the Colts could have the best coaches. They could have the best practices. They could have flawless practice after flawless practice after flawless practice. But if they never play any games, then nothing's ever going to come of any of it. They could do all the preparing they want. They could know the plays inside and out better than any other team in the NFL. But if they never were to go and show up at the stadium to play a game, they'd never win a game. We need to be willing to serve. We need to be willing to use what God has given us, to use what we learn under the preaching, to use what we've learned as being a church member or different experiences in life to be able to help others. To be able to serve as God would have us to serve. We need to serve Him, firstly, in sincerity. You can turn back to your text in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." That word sincerity there means entirely. We need to serve Him entirely. Serve Him with our whole heart. Not with hypocrisy, not with a half heart. Serve Him with our whole heart. Serve Him entirely. Give Him our entire self. What we just read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, she presents your bodies a living sacrifice. When I was an 11-year-old boy, I saw this illustration of the missionary and it stuck. This missionary had an offering plate that he made that was about that big. And he preached a passage, this message from Romans chapter 12. And at the end of the message, he came and he put that offering plate on the floor and he put himself in that offering plate. He gave himself wholly to God. If we're going to serve God tonight, we need to be picturing ourselves as putting ourselves in the offering plate for God. Saying, "God, I'm going to serve You with my whole heart. Whatever You have for me, I want to do. I want to serve You entirely." If we're going to serve God with sincerity, we're going to have to give our all the time. Not just when we want to or when we feel like it. If you watch the NBA at all, I'm talking about sports a lot tonight. If you watch the NBA at all, you see many different kinds of players out there. You see players that have extreme talent, that sometimes show up and sometimes try, and then you see players that the only reason that they're on the team is because they give it everything they have 100% of the time. When I played sports, I'm not very athletic, so the only reason I did any good is because I would lay myself out every game. And as you can look at me and my boys, we are bruisers. We get hurt very easy, very clumsy. When I am watching sports, when I'm playing sports, I want to give it my all. I want to see a guy out there that is giving it his all. God is looking for Christians that are going to give their all to Him at every moment. God is looking for Christians that are not going to serve Him only when they want to, or only when they feel like it. He's looking for those Christians that are going to serve Him all the time. When it's inconvenient, when it's difficult, when it may be out of your comfort zone, God is looking for those Christians that are going to serve Him entirely. He says, serve Him in sincerity, and secondly, He says, serve Him in truth. When I've read that word truth, I've always kind of thought of that as serve Him righteously, serve Him the right way, serve Him truthfully, not hiding anything in your heart, not trying to be deceitful in your serving, but serving Him truthfully. That's the way I've always looked at that. But I looked at that word, and that word truth there comes from a word meaning stability. We need to serve God stably. We need to serve God firmly. I've never built a house, but I've been around and helped build smaller buildings, and I worked at a camp and different things like that. And I know what it takes to build a house. It takes a good foundation. It takes solid walls that are put together properly. It takes a good roof. And if somebody in here, those of you that have built a house for your family, you want a house that's not just good on sunny days, but it's good on the rainy days as well. You want a house that's going to be able to stand in the storms, one that's going to stay up when you fall against it, or when something was to hit it, or when you slam the door. You want that house to stay standing. You want it to be strong. You want a house that can stand through that inclement weather. God is looking for servants who are going to serve firmly, who are going to serve no matter what happens to them in their life.
who are going to serve no matter what, no matter how many people may try to pull them away and say, hey, you should try this way. I know it's a little different than what the Bible says, but maybe you should try this. God is looking for people who are going to serve Him firmly, who are going to serve Him according to the Word of God. We get the truth from the Word of God, and what better foundation could we have for our lives than the Word of God in our lives? We need to serve God firmly. Serve Him in truth. Choice requires a fear of God. And secondly, the choice requires service. Thirdly tonight, that choice requires putting off other gods. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Because you need to put off those other gods. He urged them here in this passage. He says, you need to put away the gods of your fathers. Now, the children of Israel were at a good point here. The children of Israel, there wasn't a whole lot of idol worship in the camp, but he was encouraging them to put away the gods of their fathers. There were things that they had inherited. There were things that they had brought with them that may be family heirlooms or whatever it may be. They were keeping these idols with them. For the most part, they weren't worshiping them, but they had them in their possession. And he was very serious about this command. If you look at verse 23, after he speaks a little bit, after the children of Israel respond to him, in verse 23, he says it again. He says, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord Jesus. He wanted them to put them away. He wanted them to destroy them. Even though they were not falling to them at that moment, he knew that there would be a temptation one day that may try and pull them back again. Knew that maybe one day something may happen where they would fall to those idols that they had fallen to before, their ancestors had fallen to before. He wanted to get rid of them completely. We are not to have other gods in our life. We don't just need to ignore them. If we see something that could pull us down in our life, we need to get rid of it. If we see something that maybe has gotten us before, we need to get rid of it. Even if it isn't getting us at the moment, we need to be prepared for what could happen, what Satan could bring in our life. You hear preachers say all the time, good things can become bad things when they become more important than God in your life. One good thing that God has blessed us with that becomes a bad thing is finances. You know, I know we have to work and support our families, but how often do we put work ahead of our relationship with God? How often do we spend time maybe preparing for work, preparing what the job may have for us in the day instead of reading our Bible and praying and putting the time in there that is needed for us to be what God wants us to be? How often do we maybe put our job in front of church, or put our job in front of being able to help us? I know we have to work and I know that responsibility is there. I'm not trying to say that. But how often do we make that more important than God? The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a difference between a need and a want. And there are many people that have to work. You have to make money for your family, you have to provide, but there's also many people that want to work to get more. Want to work to get on top, want to work to be able to bring in all they can. And when they get to that point where they want to work more and they don't have to, it's forsaking the assembly. The Bible also talks about our finances in Deuteronomy chapter 14. If you all turn to Deuteronomy 14, verse 23. Not only does our job or our career come before God at times, but also just our money in general. We are to tithe and give to God. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, it says, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the first things of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. We see through that verse a purpose that God has for us through tithing and through giving is that we can learn always to put Him first in our life. We make our money when God blesses with it. We need to first thank Him and make sure that He's first in our life and
give Him back what He's given to us. Our finances. Secondly tonight, our interests. Our interests. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." If we are going to put God first in everything we do, then we are going to be honoring Him in everything we do. Putting Him first in everything you do means that those things that we do, those hobbies that we have, those interests that we have, are going to be pleasing to Him if we are doing all for His glory. Doing our hobbies, being part of our interests, being part of our sporting events, whatever it is, means it's not going to be taking us away from His house and we need to be there. If we're doing it for His glory, we're not going to be forsaking the assembly. We won't be staying home for a TV program. We won't be missing a church for a sporting event. We won't be involved in an activity that God is not happy with. Our testimony during those activities will be one that is attractive to Christ if we're doing it for His glory. Interest, hobbies can become a god in our life. And we need to put them away. Thirdly tonight, under that, relationships can become a god in our life. Never let a relationship with someone get between you and your relationship with God. Teenagers, young people tonight, never let a boy or a girl get between your relationship with God. Never let the approval of a friend come between you and your relationship with Jesus. Never let your kids come between you and your relationship with God, because your children need you to be close to God. As I said earlier, I love my wife very much. We've been married for 4 years, and she is my best friend. And I remember when we first started dating, first started talking to each other, that there were times, as it comes with puppy love and with the new affection and adoration for each other, that all I wanted was to be around her every second of the day. And I noticed that many of those times, because I was always spending my time with her, always thinking about her, always wanting to be around her, that my relationship with God many times took a hit. Because she became the most important thing in my life. And it was not long after I was doing that I realized, when she became my main focus, our relationship wasn't as good as it was when God was my main focus. When she became more important than Bible reading and praying, and my relationship with her wasn't as good as it had been when I was closer to God. I was the best boyfriend for her when I was closer to God. I'm the best husband that she needs that I can be when I'm close to God. I can be the best father for my children when my relationship with God comes first ahead of them. If we put God first in our life, He's going to bless our relationships. And if we let a relationship with someone get between us and our relationship with God, His blessings will not be on us. He needs to be our priority. Our troubles can become an idol in our life. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Very quickly, when troubles come, put God first. When hard times come in your life, look to God for help. Don't go to a friend, don't go to an acquaintance, go to God. The Bible says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." When trials come in our life, we need to look to Him. Ask Him for help. Seek His wisdom. We are not to let any idols come before us and God. And in order to serve Him, we need to put them away. Lastly tonight, the choice requires a decision. Look at verse 15. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It says we got to choose. The statement that he gave them here is imperative. Joshua, as you know, was a captain of the army of Israel. He was the commander.
And Joshua, I sure had no problem giving commands. And as we see here, he gave a pretty good one, a pretty firm command. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Moses gave a similar command to that when he came down from the Mount Sinai after getting the Ten Commandments from God. He came down to find that the Israelites had began to worship idols again. They all put their gold together and made that golden calf, began to worship that. And Moses there at the gate of the camp said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. Elijah gave a similar choice. Israel had forsaken God and was worshiping Baal. And on Mount Carmel, the prophet confronted them with a question. He said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow me. Then follow him. And Joshua here charges them. He says, you can serve your old dead gods. You can serve those old idols that you had in the past. You can serve yourself. You can serve God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus gave us an example here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You can't serve both. You can't say, I'm just not sure if I want to give my all to God right now. I'll give him most of myself, but I want to keep these other few things here around for a while. Because you have to choose. The choice is required. A decision is required. We see that this choice was personal. This choice was personal. Joshua, at the end of verse 15, says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a personal choice for himself that he was going to serve God. He made a personal choice for himself that he was going to put away those idols, he was going to put away those things and serve God with his life. He wasn't afraid of his obstacles. He wasn't afraid of standing up. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to make a decision tonight. We need to make a personal decision for ourselves to serve God. Husbands, don't wait for your wives to make a decision. Don't wait for your wives or children to seem like they maybe want to serve God more, to want to have a better relationship with God. Make a decision for yourself that you're going to serve the Lord. Wives, don't wait for your husbands to get right with God. Don't wait for your husbands to start serving God with their lives. You make a decision for yourself that you're going to serve God with your life. Young people tonight, don't wait for your parents. Don't wait for those around you to make a decision for you. Don't wait for them to tell you what you need to do. You make a decision for yourself that you're going to serve God with your life. Your parents, I'm sure, would love to make the decision for you. Your parents would want to just say, hey, choose God today. If they could make it for you, they would. If Brother Aaron or myself or any of the staff men or pastor around here could make a decision for you, they would. We cannot make you choose God. We can't make you want to serve God. That's a choice that you have to make. And we have to choose today whom we will serve. It's a personal choice. But also it's a responsible choice. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It says, you leaders of Israel, you can decide for yourself, but as for me and my family, as for me and those under me, we're going to serve God. You know, we need men and women here in this church that are going to stand out and decide we will. We need families that are going to join together and serve God here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We need mothers and fathers to take a stand and make a decision that they are going to serve God with their lives. No matter how convenient it is, no matter how hard it may be, no matter what they may have to put away to serve God fully, we need moms and dads that are going to decide to lead their families in serving the Lord together. What an opportunity we have here on Saturday coming up. An opportunity for all families to come and for your children to learn how to soul and learn how to win others to Christ. And for that knowledge for you and us to be refreshed on how we can better witness and better invite people to church and better tell them what God has done for us. What an opportunity we have here this Saturday to start serving God together as a family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a responsible decision. There's this story that I found here this week about a young man. This young man was troubled. His dad was a workaholic. His dad didn't spend much time with him, didn't try and help him, didn't show the love that he needed. And he went to his dad one day and he said, "Dad, if you're not going to help me, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going through a lot of problems. I feel this certain way and I don't want to. If you don't help me, I don't have a choice. I don't want to live." His dad was caught by surprise by that, and he tried to talk to his son and didn't do too much to help him after that. Got back to what he'd been doing in the busyness of work and of life. And about a year later, his son got much worse and was in a bunch of sin and came to this point where he was mentally unstable severely and had this problem, and he sent his son off to an institution. Little over a year after the son was at institution, he was able to come home. He had gotten better. It looked like he had been cured from that disease that he had. And he found a young woman and fell in love and married her. And they had a child. And as they got to the hospital to deliver the child, it seemed like all was well. And as his new bride was in the delivery room, the baby was born and she passed. So the doctors came and they told him the horrible news. And devastated, he didn't know what to do. Then, after hearing that news, they told him that his new baby boy that had just been born probably wasn't going to make it. A young man at that moment left the hospital and went and ended his life. The story doesn't end there. That baby that was supposed to die ended up living. And as a young man, he went to a presidential campaign to meet the president. It was President William McKinley. And in Buffalo, New York, that young man went there and waited in line to shake the president's hand. And as the president came up to him to shake his hand, he pulled out a gun and killed the president. All of that devastation, all of that, those hard times for that family started with a father that wasn't there for his son. A father that didn't lead his son for right. And not only did it affect his son's life, but it affected the lives of those around him, and it affected his son. We need to realize our choice to serve God or to serve the idols of this world not only affects us, not only affects our children, not only affects our children's children, but affects the lives of those they come in contact with. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's our choice. Are you going to have a fear of God in your life? Are you going to have a fear of God and tell us at work, "Hey, I'm a Christian. I can't talk like that anymore. I can't do those things. I can't be part of this conversation. I can't see what you're trying to show me. I'm going to serve the Lord." Are you going to pull that idol of relationships in your life and say, "I'm sorry, but I can't listen to that music anymore. I can't go these places with you like I used to. I can't be part of this because I'm a Christian. I need to serve the Lord." Are you willing to choose the Lord's side and say, "God, I'm going to serve you sincerely and in truth. God, I'm going to be stable in my service for you. God, I'm going to live in a way that would be pleasing to you. I want to be on your side." Are there families in here that are going to say tonight, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Are there individuals in here tonight that are going to make a personal decision for themselves, saying, "No matter what comes up in my life, no matter what Satan may bring my way, no matter what obstacles may come my way, no matter what decisions I have to be put at to make, I'm going to serve God"? Choose you this day whom you will serve. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Wednesday nights, we don't have a musical invitation, but the altar's always open. If there's something that God laid on your heart tonight you need to talk to Him about, you can come down at this time. who've been given a proposition. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are we going to serve ourselves or are we going to serve God? Are we going to serve the gods of this world or are we going to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who deserves our service? Are we willing to put away those old things? Are we wanting to live in a constant fear of God so we can be pleased with our life? Are we going to serve Him sincerely? It's your choice. Lord, we love you, God, and we thank you for the day, and thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for Joshua. God, and thank you for the charge that you gave him to give to the children of Israel. Lord, I pray that you bless us tonight. Lord, I pray that you put on our hearts a decision to make this decision for you. Lord, we need to choose you. Lord, we need families tonight that are going to gather together and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, I pray that you bless me and my family. I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to be the father I need to be and the husband I need to be. Lord, to have a relationship with you that's required to serve you properly, Lord, and to raise my family to serve you. I pray that you bless every family in our church. I pray that you bless every individual in our church to make that personal decision for themselves to serve you. Lord, bless us as we leave here tonight. I pray that you give us safety as we drive home. We ask this in your name. Amen.